Welcome back to the Pass Rugby News. We're so glad to have you. Make sure to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Pass Rugby News and on Facebook at The Pass Rugby News.
As well as you know where to go for iTunes, podcast, subscribe, download it, and YouTube channel as well, The Pass Rugby News. This is where we're going. We're going to the future, and we want you with us. Good music as always.
Doubtful, but picked we'll still by myself. Move on. Of course, it's always by Team Vince. Anyone that's following Team Vince has sucky music choices.
Team Vince has to win at something, so I choose my music then.
Well, you know what? It's an exciting day for us today. We have a great guest, and can't wait to hear. Let's see if we can play a little game today. This guest is quite renowned.
Yeah,
and so, let's give you a few hints. Let's see who can figure it out.
Yeah, veteran of 2006, 2010 World Cup.
2009 and 2013 Sevens World Cup.
Captain and champion. Youngest player ever to put on an English jersey.
At the whopping age of 17 in 2005.
That's ridiculous.
And the best of all, she is the IRB Player of the Year in 2012. I gave you a hint. It's a she.
Yep. Okay, if you haven't got it yet, it's the rugby legend rock star, Miss Michaela Staniford.
So excited to have her.
Beyond excited, because Women's Day internationally is this Sunday.
So why not?
Why not? Get the best.
The best. The best of the best.
Well, enough of hearing about me and you then. Let's get to the best.
Let's listen in.
Okay, let's do this. And okay, guys, we're here with the famous Michaela Staniford. If you haven't heard about her, then you clearly don't know about rugby. So let's first get into it. Let's get into just the big question we like to ask everyone. What does it mean for you to put on the English jersey?
Oh, wow. Yeah. You're right in there with a hard question.
I know. I'm sorry.
Ryan.
No problem. I've been wearing the England jersey for about 10 years now, so it's a long time. But you never lose that excitement about all the pressure going to play an international tournament. I think it mainly comes from the people around you. You know how hard the people around you work. You know how much they want to succeed. And as well, you yourself want to succeed and play well, and mainly not to let other people down. You want to make people proud who are on your team because you work so hard, but also you want to make your country and the people who have done so much to support you, the public and your friends and family, and everything they do to support you. So it is special, and especially wearing the England Rose, we know what that compounds. It compounds loads of passion, always working your hardest. And you're in a special group. Once you wear that shirt, you're in a very special group, and no one can ever take that away from you. And you never know when it's going to be your last, because it is all about constant performance now. So you're just going to make the most of it and give it your best shot.
Well said. That's fair enough.
You know, it's clear that you're considered an icon to the sport. There's no doubt about that. And I think my greatest question for you is, what's the best advice you can offer young girls in general that are interested in women's sports? We know that we just get a different support in sports. That's just a reality, unfortunately, and hopefully it's changing. But specifically to rugby, you know, even here in the U.S., for women, rugby is the fastest growing sport in NCAA, college age. So that's phenomenal for us. But what advice can you, you can give young women in that sense?
Well, a lot of girls in England as well as America have played a lot of different sports, and so many of the skills are so transferable. Your agility, your speed, your hand-eye coordination, you're working as an individual but as well as on a team, so everything is so easily transferable. And the beauty of rugby is you've got all those little bits in one place, in one area, in one sport. So for me, rugby was a no-brainer after playing lots of other sports. And like I said before, the amount you have to work for each other, and you've got your mates back, it's quite special in that respect, because you do put your body on the line. It is a lifestyle. We turn up day in, day out, week in, week out, to rainy, sopping wet pitches. It's not pretty half the time, but you still do it because you see people, and nothing beats that feeling, carrying the ball on the pitch, making a tackle, getting a pat on your back off your mate. And there must be some reason why so many people do it, and it is the fastest growing sport. And I think that's quite internal. You can feel it, and it is very special. And once you've played a few times, then I think you'll definitely get the bug. So anyone out there who hasn't tried it, give it a go, because whatever skills you have, whether it's you're a little bit bigger, a little bit muscular, quick, you like running the ball, you like kicking the ball, there'll be something for you. And I have no doubt that your skills can be molded into rugby player.
Well, I agree. That's the beautiful part of rugby. There is no form for any player, whether it's men or women.
It's true. Now I want to ask this one as a parent, and we have a young daughter who's three, and absolutely loves rugby, just wants to kick it around all the time. So something totally different for me to think about, too. What advice do you offer parents, then, who have young girls, how to encourage them into it, especially in our situation where, you know, the father played rugby, and maybe it's easy to encourage the young male.
That, but also, let's talk about the realities that we face when we talk about rugby. You know, oh, it's such a brutal sport, and, you know, et cetera, even though there is lots of technique, you know. It's also reaching to different audience. We love the sport. We know it. He's played it. You know, I coached it. We get it. So, but what do you tell other parents?
Oh, I had a lot of this because I'm previously a secondary school teacher.
Exactly. So you got big qualifications. Yes. You definitely do.
So they go with the stereotype. Rugby players should be big and aggressive and like hitting things. And they come and they get coached like me. And I'm like, no, I'm staying away from that as much as I can. I'd much rather run with the ball in my hand. So we've got to change this image that they're all a certain shape and size, which they're not. We need to get it in the media a little bit more so girls can have aspiring role models. They can see that it's actually really open, can be open, expansive. Yeah, there is a place for the hard side of things, the contact side of things. And again, you need those people. You're not going to get away from that. It is physical. But if you look at the physicality of some other sports, your field hockeys, your football, you're going to have a bit of rough and tumble. But again, like I said, you're going to have those players that you need a little bit of that, but there are also opportunities not to have to do that if you don't want to. And I think there is a bit of a stigma surrounding rugby with the contact side of things, but the more we can like educate coaches, and unfortunately it does come from the coaches, teaching the girls in the right way, playing a game a certain way, and being confident to go through the tackle technique so it is more safer and more expansive. But I think we're still trying to overcome those barriers now, like male sports, female sports, what you should look like. But the more we can get out there in the public eye and educate more coaches to go into schools and do it from an early age, the more confidence and the more people, the girls are going to want to try things. Like getting into schools is massive, but it's getting there. But again, getting in the media, showing that it's an expansive sport. The Olympics, the World Series is streamed a lot more. Getting the sites out there to the young people to go and watch and to see that actually, oh, it looks quite athletic. It's quite good. Actually, that role there might suit me more than that role.
Oh, yeah.
But like I said, it's a long process, but it has got worlds better over the last few years.
You're right. I think the difficulty in any kind of sport, but especially with rugby, is grassroots. And the difficulty for young women is that there is no per se younger outlet. You know, at least here in America, most of our women don't get to start until high school, college.
And
at that point, you know, they've picked up some bad habits. So, you know, it is a change.
And that's where you get injuries because they're not quite toughened to the contact and in the floor and things. I just don't know. It's funny to say, but girls going in at a little higher age group coaching as well, they don't know how to fall. And they don't have to protect themselves. And it's something simple as that you take for granted.
I agree. Well, those fundamentals, those basics that, you know, they just, all they're thinking is because they are transfer athletes, you know, they are thinking other sports. And that's the difficulty at that age group. So I think you're right. It is important to figure out how to get some young women's, you know, grassroots into schools early on. You're very right. I agree totally.
And she's pretty good on talking just, you know, regarding equality in rugby. We always hear the usual women's rugby is equal to men's rugby, and we get that. But have you felt that men's rugby is giving the acceptance to women's rugby that it deserves? I mean, I've seen a lot of banter between the sevens teams, right, between men and women's, and that's good to see. Do you feel that's pretty receptive amongst the whole, or is it getting better?
Like I said, it has got better. Okay. Without a doubt, it's got better.
As long as it's getting better, too, that's a good thing. That's good.
The right direction. We have quite a bit of contact with the boys, the sevens team, and they're lovely lads.
Are you a fan of James Rodwell?
Pardon?
Are you a fan of James Rodwell?
I'm Big Red.
Yes, Big Red. Good.
I'm a big fan of Big Red.
He's our favorite interviewee by far, so
he's brilliant. We don't see him. Like, that's another shame. It'd be so lovely if the women's series was piggybacked onto the back of men. I don't know what the thought process is behind that not being.
It's a man planning it. If it was a woman planning it, it would make the more sense. I know we argue about this all the time, but it's a man planning that because that makes no sense at all.
I get they're trying to take it to new parts of the world to open people's eyes to it, but you're still going to change ignorances putting women on a men's pitch. And if it's just a couple of games, as players, me personally, this could be just me, but I know other players are similar. Playing in front of those crowds, the whole atmosphere, the significance of what you're doing, it's just is escalated. It's massive, and it's so special as well. Like, yeah. I'm playing in Dubai. I played in Hong Kong a few years ago with 65,000 people, expats, so supportive, and it's just such a special thing to experience. And it's just a shame that we're not exposed to that a little bit more. But yeah. Like I said, the boys are brilliant, and we'd love to see them more. The 15s, they bring in the big bucks, so. Yeah. We're not too
we'll keep them around. We'll keep them around for a little generation of money. But you know, I think you're totally right. I think those are the stages that become difficult for women's sports, and I think even women in rugby, that's a difficulty that I've seen. Even when I wanted to show players a game, it really hurt just to find one online. You know, honestly, and it's unfortunate because you guys are phenomenal athletes. There is no doubt. Anyone that finally gets to watch you guys is amazed.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, it's. You know, there are some more skills sometimes to women. There are a lot more. We're very detailed, I think, in general.
Yeah.
And so methodical. Yeah. So when we play sports like this, I think it accentuates those skills that we carry that I call genetic skills. That he doesn't.
Everything's on the microscope in sevens, isn't it?
You know, and so I'm really hoping that, you know, listen out, IRB and everyone else, get the women on the same series. I think it would make more sense and. It would just bring more light to the sport. I mean, we are an Olympic sport again, so I think it's important to highlight those things.
Do you think that helps the equality, the Olympic sport? Because, I mean, you guys are given it exact, right? You play on the exact same pitch, everything. Is that helping more so?
We haven't, to be honest with you, as England, at the moment, we're competing as England. But we don't know anything about GB at the moment, so we're completely in the dark. So we've just got to keep doing what we're doing. We don't know how much input Scotland and Wales are going to have. We don't know what we're going to look like. We don't know what kit we're going to be playing in. We haven't got Olympic funding like other nations. That's why we lost out.
Yeah.
Whereas like Canada, USA, Kiwis, Australia, a lot of the Netherlands, Spain, they've all got their Olympic funding. But because at the moment we aren't GB, we have no Olympic funding. So it's all coming through the RFU who've done a massive, made a massive step in making 20 professional players. But where does that leave Scotland and Wales? But we can't be bringing those players in to give them a chance because we're still England, so we can't be funding our nation. So it's a bit of a tricky subject. And actually, we don't know any information. So it's a bit of a shame that we can't really persevere with that. But all we can do is keep playing well, trying to get in top four, qualify for the Olympics. Yeah. And
see what goes
if we get to that point, hopefully we've done more than other people and put ourselves in a good position to do as well as we can. But it's a bit tricky because we don't really know what's going on.
You've been in the game since you were 17, which is ridiculous because I could barely read at 17. So, yeah, I know I'm a slow learner, but I do have my master's, so I picked it up later in life finally. How has the game changed for you since that time to now? I mean, it's got to be massive, I would imagine, just in terms of play for you.
Completely. For my first few years playing rugby, playing for England, I got capped at 18. Sevens wasn't even in the equation. It was played as a social sport in the summer, an off-season type thing. Wasn't really given much backing or notice, to be honest with you. In 2009, it then went to a World Cup, and we only had a year prior to that leading up to it. But starting, I got put on the pitch at 18, this streaky skinny thing that probably got in the way more than doing any good, but learned quick, very quickly, but I think every couple of years the game jumps a level, especially seeing sevens has escalated massively over the last 6 years. You come back onto the series and everything's that bit quicker. Teams are being innovative, finding new things to do to be awkward, but within the rules, but playing the rules. Like the Australians found the tackle up on your feet and taking the ball as a tackler, and they're bringing in new techniques that other women's teams are going, and trying things. And so everything's developing quite quickly, and it's quite hard for coaches and players to not only keep up and learn tournaments, but then go one more and be. Think of new ideas for the next one to then outdo the opposition teams. So it's massive, especially the skill level, the fitness levels, and the speed of some of the girls. They're exceptional athletes, absolutely exceptional. And that's a big part of sevens. So it's almost some people are struggling to keep up and having to be, can't compete. And you're getting new athletes coming in, a lot of touchy girls on the Australian side, maybe a few sprint transfers. In England, we haven't really had that because... we've got a lot of rugby players who are competing and who are able to form, and we're just upping our fitness levels and speed. But it's really exciting. It's really exciting. And
I agree. I think watching the women's sevens in general, just sevens in general, is becoming such a people. I meet people that have now don't even realize there are 15s. I know people are going to be surprised at hearing that, but when they follow sevens, they are shocked at what a 15s game looks like. You know, I think you're right. Innovation has been such a big part of sevens that it's impressive. It's impressive to see what's going on. The conditioning is crazy if they really realize what they're running in.
Well, I think you highlighted that it's no longer the social sport that keeps you fit from 15s to 15 season, right? And yeah, and if you believe that, you have no business being on the pitch. And so
you can't get away with it. You cannot get away with not being fit or quick.
And that's good. That's good. And I think that helps out the 15s game as well as the 7s game, right? It should in that one. Now, what has helped you to really play at the highest level of rugby personally? And this doesn't matter male or female. Everyone has something, whether it's past growing up experiences or just general drive. I mean, how do you play at this high level for yourself?
How do you motivate yourself every day to get up and, you know, take a new practice?
Yeah, it is difficult now being professional, every day being analysed, being judged, having to perform. You can't really have an off day, 'cause it's not fair, because everyone else is on the game. And it comes in leaps and bounds where you're feeling a bit grumpy, but it's respecting that everyone has those days and just working it out. It's like a relationship. Like, it's not always going to be perfect, but you make the best of it when you can. But I think throughout...
we feel you on that one. Yes, we can attest to that.
But, like, motivating yourself... It's not difficult when you know you can be better. And I think we're no illusion that we're the finished article. We know we work hard, but we're seeing gains. So it's almost like dangling the carrot to get to that next point, to get to that next point. And we're not satisfied. England traditionally have been wildly successful, and we've dipped. There's no illusion there. We've dipped recently, maybe because other people have had a little more input than us. But now we've got the input. We know what we want to be competing for, and we're not satisfied with where we are. So I don't think you need much more motivation than that. We've got a lot of competitive people, a lot of competitive individuals. And as a team, we want to be better. We hate losing.
Good.
And I definitely
don't blame you. I don't blame you at all.
So
maybe you can give me, we'll end on the high note. You know, we've heard you, and you're right. I think competition and having that kind of drive is important in any sport, but, I think the sport you're in is kind of hard too, and I think women in it is difficult. So thank you. You know, we'll let him get a little of that. So thank you for all you've done for the sport. I'll start with that. But why don't you give us your best rugby memory? Give me two. One as a youth and one as a professional.
Oh, yeah. Ooh, I like that. Okay.
Okay. My first ever... When I was a youth, okay, how long are we talking? Like age group, schoolgirl. Right, I remember playing a national sevens competition. I had a really good group of girls at school. We were called the Green Machines because we went through a good winning spell. And again, I was stick thin, absolutely stick thin. I remember winning the national sevens as a Green Machines. There being articles. That's the first time we had been in the paper about rugby. And my dad went from football, came to every match, came to every competition, took me to training, and completely converted him like that. So that was a big change in my family. None of our biggest fans. They go everywhere. Another memory for me was my first sevens tournament. And we went as Samurai Sporting Chance to Amsterdam Sevens. And that's when the days, it was like, I think, four or five games each day on 2 days. And that was the time I was exposed to the brutality and the lung burn of sevens. I coached with Mike Friday and Simon Amor, so two exceptional coaches.
Yep.
And I remember your name getting read out on the team sheet and thinking, I can't do this. I can't do it. And he taught us that, like, it's completely mental. You can, your body will, and you've got to keep going because you have to and because everyone needs you to. And... not to show weakness. So we got some hard lessons, but those lessons will definitely resonate for the rest of my career.
That's phenomenal. That's fabulous on that one. So we can't thank you enough for doing this. So we wish you all the best in this one and with the rest of the series and just your development in general. It's just phenomenal to have someone of your caliber on talking about this.
Oh, so. God, it's my pleasure. Thank you very much.
Well, clearly a great, great person to talk to.
Yeah, I found myself actually, you know how I get when we interview people from Scotland or I talk about anything Scottish rugby related? This actually trumped that. I felt nervous talking to her because just look at the resume. Like, this is crazy.
Well, I think that she just had so much to say, so insightful on a lot of her points. I think, like every player, she says, is so honored for wearing the English jersey or their country's jersey. But I think more importantly, I think what I like that she said was that it also pushes her and drives her with her teammates and the people that are supporting her.
Yeah.
So it's not just wearing the country. It's also she didn't want to disappoint anyone. So I think that was a lot of what,
you know, us as fans, we put so much pressure all the time on players, right, that we forget that they have the pressures to your country, but to your comrades that you're playing with.
Your support, you know, everyone. Your family, your friends, you know, everyone around you, people you don't even know that just believe in your team and you. So that's exciting. I thought that was nice to hear
for me with that is there's no difference between men and women's rugby when it comes to that. You know, passion is passion, right?
Well, yes, and I think talent is just talent. Completely. Either you're a very talented athlete or you're not. And clearly, I think rugby is one of those sports. I mean, I love talking to her about the fact that, you know, rugby, at least for women, is such an emerging sport.
Yeah.
You know, and even
1.77 million are on record right now playing around the world, women rugby. Right. So,
which is great.
And for me, I think it's very great. I wish that stat was higher.
Right. But I think what was interesting to say is that she realized that there has been a change on the way women are treated. I mean, clearly we're not where we want to be. And although she might not have said it in those words, we are not.
Because
I think some of the points we're talking about is the fact that the women's sevens isn't at the same time as the men's. That makes no sense. It's absolutely absurd.
It does. And I mean, when we went to USA Sevens, it drives me insane that you have it in February for men's, then you have something in Atlanta in March. When, no offense, you have 70,000 people there, why wouldn't you just let the women play?
You might even get more.
You had a women's match there. Netherlands won.
Well, why not just that, you had the College Invitational, which clearly had women's teams there. So it makes no sense to not show women, these young women and, you know, adult women, that there is life after rugby, there are places to go.
And especially if you look at Michaela's career, you know, she is a professional player now. This is what she does.
Right, and it's not like she didn't have her own profession. She has a master's in education. Yeah. She was a school-age teacher. I mean,
which just goes to show how smart rugby players are. So hats off to you again on that one.
I think it's more of a woman thing. Yeah. But, you know, okay.
I would probably agree with that.
He doesn't mean probably. He means yes.
Completely, yeah. I got a rep for my men out there.
Point being, I think she had some great insight. I loved hearing about her experiences, you know, her two favorite experiences of playing rugby. I just thought that was wonderful.
Yep.
You know,
the Green Machine. Shout out to the Green Machine. I will use that.
We might need a team name.
Yeah, it's going to be the Green Machine.
So don't forget, we will hashtag the Green Machine.
We're going to plagiarize you, Michaela, so sorry about that. But, no, I mean, even you just look in equality in terms of changing the Olympics. Men and women are playing on the exact same pitch in front of the exact same crowd, same format. So we're getting there.
You know what's disappointing, though, that's a side note and a tangent? The fact that, you know, for England and all of Great Britain, you know, they get none of their funding yet.
Yeah, that was really insightful because I was unaware of a lot of that funding issues. We focus on a lot of other groups, and I really don't ever get into it.
We just think about Olympics. They get that funding. What are they prepping? And they really don't know what they're prepping for. They know is that they're going to work hard, like she said, put the best of themselves out there and hope that that part of the team gets to be on the team.
Well, it's funny. Devolution doesn't just reside in politics. It resides in everything, right? So
another topic. But point being, I thought it was interesting. I thought it was a good point. So we wish you guys luck and make sure you're playing at your hardest. And I'm excited to see what Great Britain has to put out.
And if they do move forward with it, I guarantee
you. Another thing that I thought was so awesome about her is that her honesty. I find that she was very honest and sincere about just where her team has been. You know, the fact that they have slumped a little. And she was honest about it, that they are aware of it and that they're not becoming complacent where they're at in their world ranking, which is important.
That's a driving force moving you forward, right?
But I think those are qualities that not every athlete has.
Oh, no.
And not every professional athlete has, which I think is a problem, which is what I love about rugby.
Absolutely.
And, you know, it was great to hear the sincerity and honesty in her. So I really admired that about her. I think that's a wonderful quality and asset to have.
She had some good points too, you know, that how we move the game forward, especially for women's rugby is, you know, you got to get more broadcast time. You got to get more live matches shown. You got to get it played in front of crowds, and like she mentioned.
But also the important thing was it's also grassroots. I mean, she was completely. The first, it's about helping parents see, helping youth see that rugby is also a woman's sport. It is for girls. It is not just barbaric that, you know, they're all shapes and sizes. She talks about herself many times during the interview saying that she was a little twig, you
and
know,
if you've
just
seen,
a tall,
if
lanky
you've
girl.
Seen her play, she can clearly rock you with no problem.
Right,
so,
but, you know, she made sure to point out that that is not the only part of rugby, no. That we have this issue with rugby, that we have this stigma, this stereotype that we need to basically overcome.
Yeah,
and until
absolutely.
We do, we are faced with those issues. But ultimately, women like her that are phenomenal athletes, mm-hmm. that clearly can play at the highest level, are what's going to help change that. So
I would pay hands down to see a ticket to see her and her mates, ladies, play. Absolutely. Yeah. Without a problem. Just the skill is skill.
Well, right? It was awesome to have her on the show. I look forward to hearing how everything goes out. We want to keep in touch with her once we find out what happens with Great Britain and the Olympics. And
oh, yeah. And she better
be captain.
I don't
doubt
that
she'll be on there. And if she's not, then Great Britain, you have
lost.
Some problems.
Yeah, then they're lost because it's just... Talent is immense, and she clearly has it, and she's
well,
been
to the
talent, rankings.
Well, not just talent, experience, obviously, knowledge. I mean, mm-hmm. it's there. So if they don't pick her up, then they're just a sad Great Britain.
You know, we didn't ask her this question that I always get highlighted upon after looking at, like, Six Nations highlights, stuff like that. How you can go to the World Rugby page, and you can get men's rankings, but there's no such thing for women's. And I just don't understand how we're supposed to gauge the caliber of play if we don't have a ranking system.
And clearly, right? She herself has said that the sevens game has advanced. I mean,
completely.
From when she started.
Yeah.
And that the talent and the technique and all these innovative players and coaches
so
are coming about. So how are we not able to rank them?
Yeah.
What, are we just trying to say that they're not good enough to rank? Which is a whole other issue that goes back to women in sports. And let's hope that, you know, on this Women's Day that we can get into the ears of all our listeners and have them start talking about this. This is a big issue.
And it hits in rugby for me, too. It hits a lot of males that we don't realize and stuff. And I think being a father now of a 3-year-old girl who loves rugby, loves kicking the ball around, loves a drop kick. How do I want to push her to play rugby, right?
But what is she going to have afterwards? And I think that's important.
Exactly.
But you know what? These are the role models. These are the people that we need to be guiding our young women to see, you know, professional, not just in the athletic world, but in her personal life, clearly has her head
on
straight.
It takes a lot to be a professional for 10 plus years at what you do, regardless of whether it's a sport, your career, whatnot. That takes drive and
initiative. Well, like you said, it's an everyday, and every day is not perfect, and every day doesn't mean, you know, you're grumpy sometimes. I love that honesty about her. But you know what? The reality is there is hope. We are changing the world, and, you know, rugby is one avenue that we definitely are seeing changes happen.
And if you want to follow her, too, Twitter, she's very active and quite hilarious, too, at @MIC_Staniford. At Twitter there, and we have all the stuff up on the YouTube channel for you to look at, and we've even put some links to her personal page you can go look at and see her accolades for herself, look at the pictures, bio, everything.
Definitely check out our YouTube version of this. You will see some amazing pictures about her.
Yeah. She has some stiff arms that you will all be jealous of, including myself from my days of playing.
Well, make sure and listen in to us, and we'll definitely keep you posted on this great player. Clearly, if you didn't know who she was, you better know now.
You better know now, and get involved in it, and let's start pushing the movement.
Follow us, Pass Rugby News.
Pass Rugby News, subscribe, tell your friends. We want to grow this alongside of you, and remember, we're here for rugby news that matters for you. And let's enjoy the music on the way out, because this really gets better.
Have a great day.
Keeps going.